The Waini writers acknowledge and pay our respects to the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians whose ancestral lands we gather on. We acknowledge the deep feelings of attachment and relationship of the Kaurna people to country and extend this acknowledgement to Torres Strait Islander and all First Nations people. We respect and value their past, present and ongoing connection to the land and cultural beliefs.
This podcast episode includes content that is not suitable for ages 16 and under, such as swearing and sexual content. Welcome back to another episode of The Waini Writers. I am here with
Abby Guy.
And I'm Harry Stewart. And today I brought something to the table with Abby when we were planning this episode, which is shocking because we don't usually plan these, do we?
No, they're very off the cuff. I was quite proud of you for having an idea.
And this time I was like, oh, I've actually got an idea for an episode.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be doing a little bit of a writing exercise with each other. So yeah. I gave Abby some work and Abby's given me some work and we've written based off little prompts that we've given each other.
I think it's a really good idea because I think one of the things that beginning writers start and something that we would have like asked when they first start is like, where do you get your ideas from? Or
like there's some sort of like magic treasure book as well.
Like, there is not. Yeah. But like, I think they really like the idea of like, yeah, a prompt, something to get them going.
Yeah.
Not get them going, but get them started in their writing journey.
And I think these things help with, because I know I've stated before that I don't believe in writer's block.
Yes, but I did say that previously.
It does, these kind of things do help when you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed with what to write or how to write something.
Mm-hmm,
especially if you want a scene and you want to cut out all the jargon before you actually get to the good bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've given each other prompts pretty
much.
I'm excited for this. Written a little bit based off of the prompts that the other person gave us. And we're gonna talk through it today and talk through our process and just have a little bit of fun.
So we're going to do one for one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you what prompt I gave Abby. And then Abby is going to tell you what she wrote based off that prompt.
Yeah.
And then we're going to discuss the process. And then it's going to fling back onto me and then back to Abby and then back to me. And we're going to kind of see if we got worse or if we got better. I don't know what Abby's written.
I have no idea what you've written.
And you don't know what I've written. And we did this about 5 minutes before walking into the room. So don't judge us based on our writing quality.
Oh yeah, this is first draft writing. So it's a little bit rough going on my end. I don't know about your end.
Oh, it's definitely rough going on mine. I'm quite proud of the first one, but the second one is just shit.
Yeah. So we'll go into it with an awareness of first draft writing.
First draft writing, exactly. No judgment here at all.
Stuff that would normally not see the light of day.
So I am going to quickly pull up the one
We also had a preface, I think, that we've forgotten, that it was romance-based, right?
It was romance-based.
So we wanted the prompts to be romance. No, the prompts aren't romance-based. You had to write something romance-based off of the prompt.
Yeah. Yeah. Something romance-based.
Cool.
So my first one, this is the first one that I sent to Abby, okay? So here we go. My first one was a prompt that was designed as a fake advertisement. And I gave it to Abby to then write a story off.
You sure did.
And I came up with it on the spot. And it's fucking stupid.
It's fucked.
It's fucked.
No, it's good. I really liked this prompt, but I'll talk about that once you've delivered it.
No, you didn't. All right. So here we go. This is my first advertisement, my fake advertisement to Abby. Ever wandered down the street and bumped into a friend you don't really want to stop to talk to? Or worse, caught out in the wild by your auntie or uncle while looking a bit dishevelled? Well then, boy, do we have the product for you. Introducing the People Peeper, the LED screen that maps out nearby people through mobile phone data, ensuring you always know who's going to be around you. No more awkward surprise conversations in the supermarket. And then I set Abby to write. Write a romance story, just a little blip after that.
I would like to point out my very first thought when I read this article. First of all, you wrote this so quick and I'm genuinely amazed. But is the name you gave it?
The people peeper?
What is the people peeper, Harry?
I don't know. I had another idea and called it the people peeper first. and it was a creepy idea. So then I went, no.
Can't be the people.
It has to make this romantic somehow. So I thought I'd still make it a bit fucked up. But I kept the name the people.
Just sounds
people.
So like problematic. Criminal. Also, I have a question for you. This is so good because I want a people on my phone. There are definitely people I do not want to bump into in the wild.
This is a problem that
literally anyone I know I hate.
I encounter
into people. Yeah. Who would you, without like naming names, who would you put on this list if you can name names?
So wait, who would I not want to bump into?
Yeah.
Oh, family.
Oh, family?
Yeah, family. Yeah. All the time. Like, you know, sometimes you're just not in your best, or there are a lot of people from high school and stuff that I just wouldn't want to.
Oh, high school is big for me.
Bump into.
Not that I just don't like seeing people from high school.
I just don't want to catch up with people that I don't have an intimate relationship with.
Yes.
Some sort of way. I don't really care. So
I'm just not, if I'm in the supermarket, I'm there to shop and I don't want to deal with conversations.
I get quite frustrated in supermarkets as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. See, I don't want to catch up
with you really quickly right now. No. I just want to put my stuff in my cart and go.
Never.
I didn't even want to be in the supermarket in the first place.
Thank you. Yeah. I fucking hate supermarkets.
Yeah.
And I find them overwhelming.
You know how people do their auto delivery?
I would love to do an auto delivery thing.
I don't think I could trust any. My mum says this, and a lady at the checkout actually said this to us once because we were talking to her about it. I don't think I could trust anyone to pick the right veggies or meat products for
very
me.
Very true, very
I
true.
I don't like the idea of someone handpicking my apples instead of me specifically standing there in the supermarket and
I'll
taking 10 minutes.
I will 100% stand by that. I pick my vegetables because they look a very particular way.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's going to. But, you know, like if I had to say get a couple packets of Jats and maybe a dip or two, you know, like if I was, I'd do my fresh fruit shopping myself.
But then, like, get anything else delivered?
But everything else I'd get delivered.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But then that's a hassle. Just might as well, you know, just, well, we're getting sidetracked.
Sorry. Tangent. That was my question. It's my fault.
Okay. So shoot us off with what you sure. created after that fake advertisement with the people.
I will. Okay. First draft. Here we go. Oh my gosh. I don't know why. I feel like there's an audience and it's only you in the room, but now everyone's going to listen to it. Okay. Ren is not thinking about Adam at the moment. No, not Adam at all, because there is no space for Adam while she's too busy debating between Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Lucky Charms. No space for Adam if she's too preoccupied with the bold, bubbly letter font on the cereal boxes before her, and she's trying to remember if she bought milk yesterday or if she used the last of it in yesterday's 20th cup of coffee. She's thinking about the taste of sugar and artificial flavouring on her tongue and not red wine and the aftertaste of cigarettes. Ren chooses home brand granola from the shelf because she's thinking about her health and her bank account and not Adam when her phone alerts her that someone new has entered her radius. She hesitates, puts the granola back, and checks her phone. Adam is exactly one aisle over. The red circle on her phone gives her an immediate headache, and suddenly she's thinking about Adam. She's thinking about soft cotton jerseys and warm skin and how long it would take for her to climb in behind the rows and rows of cereal boxes and disguise herself as a bland homemade granola.
Oh! My God, you somehow managed to make the people quite wholesome.
Well, yeah, for starters, I didn't write people into it. I didn't call it.
I was quite keen to hear the title come in somehow.
I didn't want to put people in my writing. I'll be honest with you. I very much avoided that.
She checked
that.
Her people.
Well, can you imagine if instead of like she checked her Adam. Phone, she, yeah. Yeah. She hesitates, puts the granola back and people peeps on her people. There is Adam.
Yeah. It changes the whole mood of the whole piece. Because you're like, people.
It does.
What a fucking stupid name.
Oh. But yes, that is what I wrote with your fantastic fake advertisement.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That is, I can see where this is going. So would you say that that's going to be, that's the, like just before the meet cute?
It is.
You're going to write a romance?
It is. Yeah. I would say it's a friends to lovers. We're not friends to lovers, like an enemy, rivals to lovers, and they know each other previously.
Okay.
Yeah, like, nothing. Like not,
second
I would,
chance?
Second chance, yeah. Second yeah, chance. Yeah. Clearly I'm a fan of Second Chance. The novel I'm writing at the moment is Second Chance. But
I like that. I can see that.
Yeah.
How that's working.
Yeah.
Managed to turn something so stupid into actually quite a wholesome little.
As I said, as long as there's no people written in it. I don't, maybe that's what the story would have to be titled.
The people.
People peeper.
People peeping.
People peeping. Oh, I would not pick that up off the shelf, I'll be honest. People peeping.
You could say like a peep at the heart or something. could be the title.
Oh, okay, yeah. That. Yeah, nice. Yeah, nice.
High five. Yeah, there you go. That's creepy.
A peep at the heart.
But then if somebody finds out that it's, you know, based on the idea of an app called the
People. Well, we don't have them here, but like if it was marketed to America, peeps is like a thing, right? They're like marshmallow chicken yellow things.
Oh, I was thinking.
Oh,
peeps.
You were thinking. Oh.
I didn't realize it was a snack.
Me and my peeps.
Me and my peeps.
No, I was talking. You know, they do like peeps at Easter time and they're like this yellow chicken shaped marshmallow.
Peeps? The fuck? Oh. Are they, you sure they're not called cheeps?
Cheeps would make more sense, but I don't know. Let me.
Peeps.
Peeps.
Is it like. So it is a marshmallow?
It's like a marshmallow. Yeah, look. Peeps.
What the fuck?
I'm showing Harry a photo.
Oh my God.
They're like a marshmallow.
They have such, like, much better confectionery.
Oh, I think it's just sugar. Like, I look at that. It's so yellow. I feel like if I bit into it, I would just be eating pure sugar in marshmallow
like
form.
Hard cotton candy.
Yeah.
Like fairy floss. That's what
we call it. We call it fairy floss. Yeah. Anyway, that is my.
So that's where you went with peeps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Any questions?
Well, what? You clearly attached onto the supermarket thing.
I did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So my brain, the way that I approached this prompt is I went awkward surprise conversations in the supermarket. My God, do I fucking hate those?
Yeah.
And
oh, okay.
If this was a romance scenario, who's in the supermarket and who are they not wanting to see? So I put my protagonist in the supermarket and they don't want to see the love
interest.
Which
pulls in the second chance stuff.
And then I thought about when I'm in a supermarket, what do I hate the most? And choosing cereal.
You hate choosing cereal?
I think it's hard to choose cereal.
It is an overwhelming aisle.
I think there's a lot of options. And I think if I was in America, which this is obviously a place because it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Lucky Charms, I think it's even harder to choose cereal because their options are insane. Like I just pick up a good, I don't know, what do they call it? Like Kellogg's.
Like all brand?
Yeah. Or I really like cornflakes.
Cornflakes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, that's, we like that's classic. Family. Yeah. Rice bubbles. I quite like rice bubbles.
Rice bubbles are good. Yeah.
I don't think I've had them in a while. Cocoa Pops.
Oh, yeah. Cocoa Pops when I was a kid, but I don't like Cocoa Pops now.
I could never have the ones with the toucan.
Oh, Fruit Loops.
I wasn't allowed to have Fruit Loops as
when
a child.
I was growing up, Fruit Loops were my favorite.
Would you have Fruit Loops now? Have you tried them now?
Yeah, I've had them now. They're too sugary.
Oh, they're just pure sugar.
Yeah, way too sugary.
Because I could have Cheerios. I liked Cheerios.
Cheerios I like. But like honey like, Cheerios. Just plain honey Cheerios.
Yeah. It was a bit of an old man's cereal to be eating when I was younger.
We used to froth the Milo cereal.
Oh, that was huge. Yeah. Nutri-Grain was massive with us as well.
Oh, Nutri-Grain. Yeah, well, we used to do Wheat Bix as well.
And I'm no Iron Man.
I used to. No. That's a joke for Australians. That is. We've got to keep bumping my freaking head on this thing. There we go. Wow.
Okay.
We were a Wheat Bix family as well. I used to eat Wheat Bix because that's what grandma used to have in the house. Wheat Bix?
Wheat Bix. Yeah. I used to have Wheat Bix in my auntie's.
Yeah. With like sugar on it.
Yeah. Bit of honey. Honey on Wheat Bix was fucking delicious.
I used to eat Wheat Bix, no milk, and then butter it with peanut butter.
Raw Wheat Bix?
Raw Wheat Bix with just peanut butter spread on it.
Did you put them on a plate?
Well, yeah.
You wouldn't have to have them in a bowl, would you?
Yeah. Have you ever tried to crunch into a Wheat Bix? Do you know how crumbly those things are?
No, I don't think I've ever eaten.
Oh, they're really dry. So imagine adding peanut butter to something that's already dry. I don't know how I did it.
Why?
It's very, you know. Tacky.
Yeah, you would. You would be kind of sticky.
Yeah. Don't recommend.
Okay, interesting. So you really went for the cereal, don't like supermarkets, and then created her hero.
Yeah, what I liked about this process is, well, one thing is I find names really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Takes me forever. Adam and Wren.
Wren.
Yeah. I find names difficult and I normally spend a really long time trying to figure out what I'm going to call my protagonist. But because this was a prompt and there was no like stress on what I call them, I picked names so easily. And you can have an Adam and a Wren in a romance, easy.
You can. Kylo Ren, played by Adam Driver.
Oh, I didn't even make that connection. Maybe that's why I did it.
Instantly where my brain went. I was like, Adam,
now I've
Wren?
Turned into Ali Hazelwood unintentionally.
Right in your Kylo Ray fan fiction.
Oopsie daisy.
Rilo. Is that what it was called? Or Kay?
Rilo.
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 Yeah, because Kay's a
definitely Rilo.
Dumb. Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
So, without, obviously, I haven't read the second one yet. You haven't read that one out yet. Do you think this is your best one and your second one's worse?
I think that this one is better.
Interesting, because I also think my first one is better.
Yeah, and I think it's because there was more substance to the prompt.
Fair.
Purely because this prompt that you gave me, right, is a full, it was a full paragraph. It was a full, here is the, it gave me world idea. It's a little bit futuristic world. It gave me a supermarket. It gave me more. When we get to the second prompt, it's one line, which is fine, but it's not, yeah, it was harder
to build something out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's why
it worked better to have a little bit of a more full prompt in front of me.
I struggled to give this, my second one, which when we read them out, it'll make sense, enough substance to make it worthy of the prompt.
Yeah. I get that.
But with this one here, I felt like I had the context of the prompt, which I could just build on with the other piece.
Yeah.
With my reply. Yeah. Okay. Would you want to read out your prompt for me?
I will. Okay. Oh my God. We're going to have to.
Literally.
Okay. So what my approach to this is, I'm not going to lie. I was like, how am I going to give Harry a prompt that's not just Googling writing prompts? So I Googled weird news flash reports and I gave Harry a news flash report and I wanted to theme it to whiny writers. So this is the report that I gave Harry. Cascades of red wine flood a city's streets in Portugal after huge tanks rupture, by Bill Chappell, September 12th, 2023, 11:33 a.m. There's a lot of, I think it's Portuguese writing in here and I'm going to butcher it, all right? Forewarning. There is so much surplus red wine in Portugal, it's flooding the streets. That's one way of deciphering the incredible scene that unfolded in a Portugal place, a small town where millions of litres of wine recently overwhelmed the roads. The roughly 2.2 million litres of wine, some 581,000 gallons, poured out of two burst tanks at Destilaria Lavira. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
On Sunday, according to local newspaper. A viral video from the scene shows a river of wine coursing down a hilly street, sluicing over its curves.
Nice. Okay. So wow. Then I wrote, based on that, that was a lot because I quite liked that.
It gives you a full, like, scene, like, scenario, yeah. Town.
And I went real simple.
Did you?
Yeah, I went really
lovely.
Simple.
I went excited.
Red wine gushing down the street.
I read red what wine and I was like, Harry will love this.
I would. And I did love this. So then I wrote, holy shit, could this day have gotten any better? To start, I'd awoken after what was literally the best day of my entire life. God, he had been such a gentleman. He dropped me off past midnight, leaned me against the old wooden door and kissed me like he was some sort of film star. Then things just got better. The sun was shining from the moment I'd opened my curtains and the birds were chirping in my backyard, singing me into the start of a new day. I'd created the best omelette ever before. My orange juice had no pulp and the house smelled entirely like lavender. My tan from last night was still perfect, my skin was glowing, and my hair was still fluffy from last night. And now, I was on the roof of my house, watching a literal river of red wine cascade down the main street. To some, this was a disaster, but to me, this was fucking heaven. I pulled out my phone and opened my text messages to David, his sleep well text from last night still unanswered. Good morning, handsome, I typed. Grab as many buckets as you can and meet me at the main street in 5 minutes. I'm about to show you the key to my heart.
Oh my God.
I was quite proud of that one.
That is so good.
I liked it.
Man, I'm so impressed.
I didn't want to describe anything about him or anything. I was just wanted to, like, that's how.
I would read the shit out of that.
And it would be
I don't know
like
about anyone listening, but I would read the shit out of that.
I liked that one. All I thought was red wine. And I was like, Main Street, lives off the main street.
How can
I get some love in there?
Yeah. So good. What point in the novel, if this were a novel, other than just a moment in time, which I think it works as just a moment in time, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But as a novel, where do you think you would place this?
I would tweak it a bit if I was going to put it in a novel.
Yeah.
So I'd probably take out the stuff about the date and say that the morning had been bad and that the red wine made everything, red wine cascading down the street was incredible.
Yeah.
And this would be just after the point of ritual death in romance. And I would have him text David, his lover, after they've had a really bad argument and tell him to meet him down by the river and say, I'm about to show you the key to my heart. And they make up over the concept of scooping buckets fulls of red wine and storing
it. That's so good.
That
you can just imagine the scene of them afterward as well. and they're
caked in it.
Caked in wine. Yeah. They've got buckets full of it. They're giggling. They're like, it's like, you know, those like, I don't know, water beach scenes, but it's it's a river of wine.
But it's a river of wine. Yeah.
So much. So more I'd probably go for in something Portugal. Like
that. In Portugal as well. Yeah. They'd probably be on holiday, or one's a local.
I love
one's
that.
Portuguese. One person's on holiday. They fall in love, that type of stuff.
So as far as the prompt went, how do you find writing after a prompt?
I find writing after prompts really tricky.
Yeah.
Because I usually just, I write a lot based on what I see in real life. Mm-hmm. So when I have to think about something based on a prompt that someone's given me, I find that quite hard.
Yeah.
Unless there's a decent amount of context.
Yeah. So that's where this one.
This one was good because I was like, one, it's an interest, River of Red Wine. I was like, bang, we're in. And then Portugal was a cool setting.
Yeah.
And I thought that the voice in the report made it easy for me to pull out a similar voice.
If you go and read the full report as well, it's even better.
It's good.
It's got so much like
there's that
sarcasm
line
and jokes in
there's
it.
There's so much surplus red wine in Portugal, it's flooding the streets.
Yeah.
I was like, beautiful. I loved that. So that made it really easy then to pull out like some sort of like sarcastically hopeful voice.
Yeah.
And make a character from that pretty quick.
I love it. Do you think writing to a prompt helped you write something that you would never have written before?
100%. It puts you outside your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And it makes you realize that you can write this kind of random stuff, especially when you put a little bit of constraints on it. Like I say, we would both have come out with stuff much faster and probably a lot cleaner if we had no constraints. But because we were like, no, we want to write romance.
Yeah.
And we want to keep it short. Mm-hmm. I think it helped.
Yeah,
it applied some pressure.
If it wasn't romance, I definitely would have come out with something different, I think.
Oh, I would definitely, especially for that. I would have had some sort of horrible disaster going on. But instead I was like, oh, because, shaping those type of constraints makes it fun. And even if you did a writing prompt like this, but you did, I want to write a fantasy one, a sci-fi one, a romance one, a horror one, a crime one.
Yeah.
And then
use the same prompt for all of them
and you'd... Yeah. You change them. Yeah. Different characters, different places, and you write like 150 words on each.
And then you get past the cliches, right? Like our supervisor, Amy, talks about how you need to write, if you have a scenario or a character reacting to something, you write it not just once, you write it 50 times, 50 ways that they could interact with that. And by the 50th time, you'll have something that's not cliche.
Because your first idea
is cliche.
Throw out the first, the second, the third, and the fourth. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we're coming up with now is the initial cliche, right?
Yeah.
So if we did this 3 or 4 more times, you'd come up with something new.
Come out with something a bit bizarre, I think. I think these are already Zara's quite good. Weird.
Yeah. Well, the prompts are a bit weird. So
the prompts are.
That's not helping.
Yeah. All right. So awesome. I'm going to read you the prompt that I gave you now.
Yes.
For the second one. And I just went for a one line, like a tiny little one.
Yep.
I thought fake advertising was quite clever, but then I thought I want to go a bit more traditional with this one.
Yeah.
So I wrote one for you. And I also kept it in theme with the whiny writers, which both of us have not noticed. Both of us did unintentionally.
Yeah.
Okay. So prompt number 2, which Abby's going to talk on, is, can you get me a glass of wine? He says. You walk into the kitchen and survey the shelves. What if I just poison him? Maybe then this date will be over.
I loved this prompt.
Yeah.
There's so much I feel like it vibes hatred, which is why I struggle. So we'll talk about that after. But here's what I wrote. It also forced me to write in first person. You wrote a first person prompt and I never write in first person.
Once you did say when you were writing your prompts for me, something about first person. And so I did go, fuck it, I'm making it first person.
Yeah. So here we go. Poisoning the wine, I think, would be exceptionally easy. He's not paying me any attention. In fact, I can still hear the dull thrum of the guitar as he tunes it in the lounge. And he's surely too intoxicated to notice a difference in taste. I'd only have to bear one terrible rendition of the latest indie folk song, perhaps two if he's the stubborn kind. And then I'd be free. He strums an off-kilter beat on the strings and I stare longingly at the wine in the glass. Perhaps if I peek into the cupboard beneath the sink, I'll find rat bait. Under the fridge, perhaps? Another strum in the lounge tells me he's still preoccupied and I chance a more in-depth glance around the kitchen. There's a beheaded cockroach in the sink drain and a few ants crawling up the pantry wall, but no bait. I suppose I'll have to do this in a messier fashion.
Oh my God. Where's the romance?
This is what I'm saying. I struggled to turn this into romance because so I think the initial prompt, and nothing against you, I think it would have been a real challenge for me to make this romance, and I probably should have taken that challenge on.
It's hard.
But the initial prompt, it says, can you get me a glass of wine? And I'm saying she because I'm coming from a het white perspective and it's first person, but she's going, maybe I poison him and this date will be over.
Yeah, so there's nothing hopeful to start.
She hates him. She wants him dead.
I love how the discussion on messiness as well. Like, oh, well, it's not going to be easy.
No bait around here. Yeah. So I don't know why from the initial prompt, I was like, this is a shit guy.
Yeah, that's fair.
This felt like a really terrible guy. So for me, if this were a romance, this is the terrible date that she goes on and you experience with her going on.
Yeah.
Right? Before she has the meet cute. So you go through this terrible date with her and you're like, my God, this girl just needs to meet someone who's nice and doesn't try and play her fucking guitar songs.
I really do think that is such a red flag.
Do you know what? It's actually happened to me at least 3 times.
What?
Which is absurd. I've met 3 people who have tried to play me because Barbie touches on this, right? The Barbie movie where they try and play guitar for you because, I don't know, it's supposed to be attractive.
I don't understand why that's a thing that people accept.
It's happened to me like 3 times. Wonderwall twice and another song another time. But like
Wonderwall?
That's twice. The go-to. Yeah.
Is it supposed to elicit attraction?
I think so, but it ain't working for me. I would be way more into someone if you pulled out the drums.
Yeah,
but
fair. But then you've got to wait for them to set up the drums.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Imagine they're like, just wait there, close your eyes. They're like,
and you can just hear it. And I'm like, oh, God.
Like the little dun, dun, dun.
There is just something about having to sit there and quietly be like, oh, yes, I'm very impressed. And you're not.
You know, went on a walk a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which sounds really bad. But I was just walking down the beach down in Henley and there was a van with the door open.
Yeah.
And a young woman was sitting in there cross-legged with her phone in between her legs, just like scrolling.
Yeah.
And a guy was sitting in the back of the van with these like dingy curtains and stuff up. And he was just strumming and going, oh, like just playing this stupid fucking song. And she looked
very
dead bored. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, not the murder.
That would interest me. No, I'm kidding.
And so, yeah, and she looked dead bored. And he was sitting there like it was just the best thing ever. And I turned to my friend and said I'd shoot myself if that was the first date.
I'm not sure if it's perceived as like a talent that they can have that has some sort of masculinity embedded in it.
Yeah. That's the thing. Again, is it tied back to that? Because the guitar is something that is like, think about Morgan, what's his name? Wallen or something at the moment?
Oh, I don't know.
The country singer. And Luke Combs.
Oh, yeah.
They're huge at the moment.
Yeah. My favourite is Noah Kahan.
Noah Kahan?
Yeah, but I don't think people see him as an attractive appeal. I'm sure people do.
Yeah.
But they like him for his music. But there is something in being able to play guitar.
Play the guitar, yeah.
I don't know.
My younger brother plays guitar.
And I think there are a few classic romance scenes in like film and books where they do that. So maybe it's developed from that. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah. Does Shepard in Book Lovers play the guitar to her?
Oh, I don't know if he does, but I think he is atypical. He would play the guitar for her.
He would.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would.
Interesting. I like how you played with that.
Yeah.
But you're right. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, so I couldn't turn it into a romance, but I think it's a good lead. I think it gives character and it's a good lead into romance. Yeah.
I think we're going to start to share more of our writing on this pod.
Yeah, why not?
Because this is fun and I quite like this.
I really enjoyed this.
Because our listeners are already seeing our different writing styles and how quickly
you
can
first person was
switch
hard.
Between that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you've gone for more of a horror there, like a crime.
That's my normal
space. You know, and that's your normal space.
Yeah.
And I can feel you slipping straight back into that so comfortably, which is really nice.
I wonder if that's as well when you're given a prompt, right, you go to your comfort space first because you're just writing what's comfortable for you. And for me, that is horror. So that came a lot easier than having to turn it into romance. Like if I did what you said before and I wrote the same prompt, romance, then horror, then fantasy, then it would be really pushing me.
We should do one of them. That would be really fun. Prompt as well.
Yes.
We do the same prompt, but we can write.
And we turn it into
different things. Mm-hmm. Because I found like with my first one, that was all right because I usually write pessimistic characters, but I just made it a really happy character.
Yeah.
So I've gone for the exaggeration.
I like it.
Yeah. So that was just, it was a little bit different, but it was also my comfort zone.
Yes.
Because I did the, oh my God, you know, like everything's exaggerated, everything's hyperbolized. And that just felt a bit more natural.
2 seconds.
Yeah. But interesting. I think prompt number 2 is a test.
What's a single line, right?
Yeah, and I fucking hated it.
You hated the one I gave you?
I liked the prompt. The prompt was clever. And if I had maybe 2,000 words, I could have written a terrific story about
something a bit better. All right. On that note then, I'll read it out and we'll see how it went. So I wrote for prompt 2 for Harry, the moment/moments that led up to a 0-star review on TripAdvisor for a restaurant. We've gone very negative here, but I think we've gone wine and we've gone whining, which is very works for the pot. Oh, yeah,
on brand.
Very on brand.
All right, so, and I wrote, well, that couldn't possibly have gone worse, in my opinion. I'm inclined to agree, he murmured. For starters, I loathed seafood, which I think he knew when he booked this fucking restaurant, making me instantly mad. It's not like he didn't know it served seafood either. That couldn't be an excuse. The neon sign out the front literally read, Under the Sea With Me, Seafood Restaurant. But that wasn't the only problem. Our waiter was quite possibly the foulest man I had ever encountered. Before even introducing himself, Bruce smeared a great big booger on his notepad and cleared his throat as though he had just finished a mucus milkshake.
Ooh.
Despite hiding my disgust, I ordered a serve of the hot chips and chili calamari. An easy order to remember, you'd think. David ordered a lightly crumbed barramundi, and then we agreed on a cheap bottle of Sauvignon Blanc between us. You can imagine my concern grew when 2 beers and a pitcher of iced tea, 2 lobsters and a plate of mussels were delivered by our somewhat ogre-like waiter. David was quick off the bat and immediately sent it all back, instead asking for our original order, reciting it perfectly again. The wine was delivered within moments, although covered in what appeared to be small snails, and, well, that was about it for me. But David, with some gentle reassurance, convinced me to stay, promising me the meal was on him. When our food finally arrived, I didn't even want to fucking touch it. Mr. Ogre had farted rather obtrusively as it was placed before us, and I wasn't convinced it hadn't seeped into the food. I slid the plate away from me calmly and looked up at David. Why the hell did you bring me here? Well, he said with a smile, I know how much you love leaving 0-star reviews.
Oh my God. The booger part in that.
I don't know about
has
that.
Just.
Yeah. I just made a you really said that gross
that,
person.
Yeah, but you said that that wasn't good and I enjoyed it. You're just so good at voice.
I just didn't know how I wanted more. I wanted to make it more of a thing. Like the restaurant looked really good, but the food was horrible. The waiter was shocking. And there were more occurrences.
To be fair, that would be a 0-star review on my phone.
It would. Yeah, it would. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why there were snails on the bottle. I just wanted it to be as gross as possible. And I was like, mollusks. Ugh, I hate them.
I think you're seeing here as well, as you said earlier, a difference in our writing, but also in the length of writing.
Yeah, like, true.
We both had the exact same amount of time to respond to these prompts. And you've written significant amount more of words than what I was.
I do write more words than you, though. But mine aren't as polished.
Oh, I would argue less. Those are really good words. I liked your first prompt in regards to emotion. I liked your second one in regards to comedy and character.
I like my character better in the second one, for sure.
Well, that's because he's much more your style.
He's much
right?
more my style, yeah. Happy is not a vibe for me. Pessimistic is. I mean, that's not pessimistic in my opinion, though.
It's my vibe of pink.
Yeah. Of course.
Oh.
I just thought, you know, you get your food order wrong, your wine's not very good, and the place is a bit dingy. It's not really a romance, because it would be, I'd be pretty fucking pissed off if my partner took me to a place like that.
He smeared a great big booger on his notepad and cleared his throat as though he'd just finished a mucus milkshake. A mucus milkshake, Harry.
I tried to think of what would
That's foul.
What
in a,
would
like,
really
the best possible way
thicken your throat? Oh. Do you get me? Like, because
you know they like really hack up.
Oh,
their,
it's horrible. There's nothing worse than when somebody like clears their throat in a way like that before they introduce
it's
themselves
like wet.
To you. Yeah, they go. Like, And then like
they do what?
It's horrible. It's just it's nasty.
You
when
know when
people
they
do
like spit on the street or like footy players
God,
do it as well.
That's such an ick. That you know the ick is
like I understand not wanting to swallow
with that.
It, but it's just.
Oh, I understand.
Oh no, it's gross.
No,
there's no yeah.
I understand if you're in a private space
uh-huh.
and you're sick.
Uh huh.
Hack up whatever you want
to
do.
Hack
doll,
to your heart's desire.
But do not spit on the pavement, the grass, anywhere in public.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And they always look so
like a literal
disdainful
ick because
when they
I
do
icked
it.
By it.
Yeah, literally. I am actually, yeah. It's a voluntary, like a physical reaction I have to that.
Yeah,
where
right.
I go, ugh, my God. So, question for you.
Okay.
What would you change if we want, like, What do you look for in a writing prompt? Do you use them in your writing for starters?
I don't typically use writing prompts myself, but I think I think there is merit to them.
Yeah.
Like I could take these tiny things I've written, I'll keep them, right? And then I might come back to them and be like, you know what? I really liked that supermarket idea. I might not keep people peepers.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah. Why?
I thought that was
but
a
like
mine.
I might take the idea of someone running into someone in a supermarket that they didn't enjoy seeing and turn it into a romance later down the track. So I enjoy them for that, but I don't know if I would. Yeah, I don't use them in my typical writing. Do you use them?
I don't use them either, no.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're actually quite good for getting scenes in.
Yeah, yeah.
I
yeah.
would now like to put my people in my novel in a really bad restaurant. As a bit
yeah,
of
I was going to ask if you were going
scene.
To use it now. Yeah.
I think that's actually quite a good idea.
Yeah.
Especially because that character could be quite easily moulded into my current character.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. There's
yeah.
a lot of disdain
there's a lot
in
of,
that character.
Yeah, there's a lot of my guy in
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of me. So, yeah, I think they're worthwhile. I think they're a really good idea. And I understand why people use them. I don't think they're a holy grail. Which
oh,
a lot
not
of,
at all. No, a lot of beginning writers, I think, use them as a holy grail. Like, they can't seem to get writing until they have a prompt.
Yeah.
I like to use words, like single words, instead of a full scenario because I think it boxes you in less. One of our colleagues gave us a presentation. It was a really good presentation and I really wish – and we might even get her in to talk about it.
Yeah.
But she was talking about like kind of divorcing the rigidity of language and – writing process from like these binaries where you get a prompt, you write about it, and taking words and looking at them weirdly. Does that make
okay.
sense?
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
Starting
so
to
like,
get a little bit more creative with how you're viewing
getting a bit more
creative
with it. So, you know, like I took the word splinter in that session that we did and you turn it into all these other things. So you write down all the words that you associate with splinter and then they get a little bit weirder as you go.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember this writing exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I found that kind of way more interesting than going basically.
Yeah,
because
then in that way you find the joint, like you find what links words and what words have in common.
Yes.
So then you can have a little bit more fun with very unique,
crazy
ideas.
Yeah, I'm a big
fan
of words.
Absurd.
So like, yeah, I reckon word mapping is way more fun than prompts. Like if you get something like that, the word splinter, and then you're like, and then there's blood, and then there's flesh, and then there's skin, and it builds a scene.
That's very much how you write, though.
Yeah.
You love a good, you'd like a word mapping where, as you write because it builds the image in your mind while
imagery.
You're writing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas like a line of dialogue might work better for you.
Yeah, dialogue works really well for me or something like a bit of that setting that you gave me in that newsflash there.
Yeah.
Because I find that really interesting when I'm like, river of red wine in a Portuguese town?
Yeah.
Like, the fuck?
Yeah.
How, you know, I wouldn't have come up with that.
So if you don't use word prompts, where do you find your ideas?
I find my ideas from real life, from
experience.
Yeah,
from lived experiences, yeah.
I really enjoy going out there and I have a very active inner monologue. And so I'm constantly thinking when I'm out and about odd things that have happened during the day. I will usually come home to my family and my partner and have at least 2 to 3 stories to tell them every day. And they might be
Absolutely.
Something as simple as me passing by somebody and overhearing a conversation and then for the next 5 minutes finishing that conversation
in
my mind. In
your head, with
how
it
Or forming
how
an opinion
gone.
On it very quickly.
Yeah. I think there is nothing better than sitting in a pub or like at a cafe and people watching. And
Completely
like,
agree.
especially if you're with someone else who also likes people watching and you exchange those ideas with each other and what's going on.
It's like that movie, I think. I don't know if it's – it's got Steve Carell in it, I think, where they fill in the – like they mouth over the top of other people. It's a married couple. I have a feeling it's Steve Carell. I'm not sure. But they mime other people's conversations from across a restaurant.
Yeah.
So they might be sitting on one side and the couple's talking and obviously they can't hear what's going on there. So then he plays her and she plays him and they make up the conversation as they go along. And it's like their activity when they go out for dinner.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so funny. Like, it's such a funny idea.
Yeah.
It's next so level fun. People watching.
So you're kind of people watching, but they're turning it into literature.
But you're turning it into a story. Yeah. And I just think that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't know where I get my ideas from. I think I pick them up through my reading and through my watching of other things.
Yeah, you're like very media-driven.
Media-driven. So if there's a scene that I really enjoy, but like there's an aspect of the scene that didn't work for me or I would change, then I can do that in my own writing.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're kind of like fixing almost.
Yeah, like putting a Band-Aid on it.
Like putting a Band-Aid on it, being like, I got to make that better.
But yeah, in a way. And then other things branch out from that. Obviously, I'm not following directly a scene, but
yeah,
just getting concepts. Does that make any sense?
That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. Because I feel like I get inspired by a lot of stuff and then I go, oh, I want to write this a little bit better. But I don't really ever do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think both of my books that I'm currently working on are very much about lived experience. Pretty much all of them have got things that have actually happened to me or things I've actually done as a person.
You have such a good memory. I feel like something happens to me and I forget it immediately if I don't write it down.
But I'm, like I said, I am very story focused. Yeah. Like I have a very active inner monologue. So I go home and I tell those stories and I tell them and then forget them sometimes. So then sometimes my partner will go, well, no, but didn't that happen last week? And I go, oh, yeah, shit, it did too.
Whoopsie, but yeah, so I told you about that 5 days ago.
And sometimes my parents go, do you make this stuff up? And I go, no, like I just have an overactive, like this is just how I view things.
Maybe you're embellishing it.
Yeah, here's my example. From recently, okay?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I've got an example of this kind of mindset.
I'm excited.
So I think it was yesterday, and I actually think I told you this within 50 seconds of seeing you, is that I was walking through let's call it a gallery, and let's change some things because this is
bad. Oh,
you
did tell me this.
I was walking through a little bit of a gallery here at the university campus, and there were two people that were sitting down on a couch discussing art and like a painting or something, mm-hmm. right? Now, no context whatsoever. I've just walked in and up the stairs. I was in the room for 15 to 20 seconds, right? And I was listening to these people's conversation and I was going, these guys sound so fucking pretentious. And like this object on the wall can't possibly mean that much to them. And then by the time I'd reached the top of the stairs, I thought to myself, this is how people must think we sound like when we talk about books.
Yeah.
They must go, not that big a deal, mate.
Yeah, you sound a little bit pretentious.
Yeah, a bit pretentious. Like, yeah. You know, they were going, oh, these colours and just the way, you know, it just shapes the way that you view the world and just when you look through a frame like that. Like, that's the type of stuff that they were saying, right? And,
yeah.
Like, you know, to me, right, walking though, through we, at that we time talk in the morning,
about, like, words that way.
Yeah. We go like, oh, romance, it's a life-changing genre. But like, because that's how we feel.
Yeah.
So that's how they feel about art.
But you would take an experience like that you had and you would turn
and
it into...
And I would write it into a book.
Yeah,
because
right.
I'd go, I want to write a character that thinks he's on top of the world but isn't aware to his own hypocrisies and then write a scene like that but maybe put it somewhere a little bit more dramatic. Maybe he is at the Smithsonian and there is genuinely a beautiful piece of art in front of him and a lady is standing there crying over how gorgeous she thinks it is and he is having a really, really, really bad day and she steps in front of him and he tells her to go and get fucked or something like that or
oh
grow
my
up.
God. I didn't come before this like, goes on in your head.
Brutal, like straight to the point. Like nice. I'd make it, I'd take something from real life, embellish it and just make it a little bit more exaggerated.
Nice.
That's how I write.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a fun question for you. just before we end.
So hit me.
Yeah. I was thinking about how I would approach these prompts when I sent them to you.
Yeah.
How would you, did you do the same? How would you have done the prompts differently than what I did? Just in a quick potted.
In a quick potted summary, I would have gone with the supermarket two for the first one with the peepers. Because that's, I tried to put like more of a specific setting place in there to run off of. You picked the supermarket and I was like, great. Because I also hate fucking supermarkets.
Yeah.
But I probably would have had them run into a family member and complain about how, like, you know, try to escape that. And their way of escaping that conversation with the family member was to go and talk to their ex.
Oh, their ex. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So getting drilled by the auntie.
So very much
like
we both went rivals to.
Rivals, yeah.
There is something in the context of a people peeper. Something in the context of something that tells you that people you don't want are in the area.
That calls an ex, right?
Yeah. That calls an ex or a rival or someone you don't want around. I like it.
But yeah, that's what I would have done. And then the second one that I gave you was about, oh, the wine.
The
wine. And it would have been her grabbing the wine and seemingly to the reader putting something into it. And then when she goes back, he grabs the wine and he goes, oh, thank you so much for putting like the hydration.
Oh, it turns out he's a nice. Yeah.
Thank you so much for putting the hydration tablet in it. And really because I would have written it male.
Yeah.
He's just really having a grumpy day and he's being stupid by thinking, what if I just poison him? And it's all just a joke.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, nice. I like it.
So the reader goes, oh my God, he really is going to poison him. And then he drinks the water and he goes, thank you so much for putting that in because I don't like the taste of the, you know, like it would be a flavor supplement or something.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That is good.
That's what I was thinking about doing. What would you have done with mine?
Okay. So the first one, the river of wine in Portugal.
River of wine.
I would have had my love interest be the truck driver.
Oh, okay.
And the first victim of the river of wine. Oh.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So like he would have, you got him panicking. I because of my perspective on it.
Yeah.
But you got him panicking because he's just spilt probably thousands of dollars of wine down the Portuguese street.
Fucking fair.
And a poor woman who's been the first victim of this and she is now drenched in wine.
I like that.
Yeah, that would have been my approach.
Because she would have been sticky and he would have been like, what the fuck? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, or I agree with you. And I think the article was written like by the reporter, was written with so much character, the reporter could have become a character himself.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have liked that a lot.
Yeah.
And then would you go with the victim still? She's the victim and he's reporting?
Or maybe the truck driver and the reporter.
And the reporter.
Maybe they know each other.
Maybe they do know
each other.
Maybe
they're longtime rivals. And he's like... This fuckhead.
Yeah. And she's like, ha ha ha, I've got you.
Got you. Yeah.
On the biggest mistake, you're going to be all over the fucking news. And he's like, oh, shit, of course she's here.
Yeah.
Rivals, again, you've got rivals.
I like rivals.
Yeah.
It's like enemies to lovers sort of thing.
That was fun. I really liked that. I feel like we should be showing, we should show more of our writing. We'll make more of an effort to start showing some people.
I think next time we should do what you suggested and we each have the same prompt, but we write it in different genres.
Yeah. And we could see how different we go or how similar we go. Because I think we're going to be quite similar. I think we're getting a little similar with our writing.
We are. And I think we should challenge ourselves to do weird shit.
Yeah, I agree.
Just get a little bit more different.
And then we'll have some wine here, right? For that one, because we're going to need it.
Yeah.
And I say that for that episode, we do a vote for the most unique story outcome.
Okay.
We vote on each other.
Perfect. I think so. Yeah.
Make a competition.
And then you listeners, if you liked any of our prompts today, we'll pop them up on our socials. Maybe we'll put up a little snippet of what Harry and I did.
Yeah.
With them. And then if you have a different idea or you want to give these prompts a go, then you can send them our way and we'll have a look.
I was going to say, give us a prompt.
Absolutely. Well. Or give us a prompt.
Send us through some prompts.
And we can do it on the pod.
Next prompt episode, because we'd love a little bit of a challenge.
If you've got a prompt, that's a really good idea and we'll use it as our multiple genre prompt.
Yeah, please send us through. That'd make it so much fun. But for now, I think I'm going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
That was episode 8 of The Whiny Writers. Thank you so much for listening with us today. We hope you enjoyed our little writing exercises and our little bits and bobs of chat and shit on the side.
Absolutely. If you are listening and you don't know our socials, you can find us at Whiny Writers on Instagram, and probably some more by now, but you'll find all the links on Instagram.
And we are available listening anywhere that you grab your podcasts.
Anywhere,
so if you've got friends and family that aren't quite on Spotify, they can find us on Deezer, Apple Music, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Intune. Just give us a listen. Share us around. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.